I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, praise God. As always, it's good to be with each and every one of you. I just want to welcome in my sidekick, my bestie. Father, are you there? Hi, Father.
Listeners, to all the listeners also, a very, very beautiful afternoon. You know, it's 82 degrees here in Denver.
Yeah, here too. It is beautiful.
I expect a lot more trick-or-treaters tonight because the weather is so good, you know?
Yeah. So, every time I say it's so beautiful, or I always think of you singing, isn't he beautiful? Isn't he wonderful?
Oh, yeah. Great tune it is. Great tune. Yeah. Delighted to be on the air with you today. Delighted to take that time to share. I'm sure, you know, we all know, and including the listeners, it's been my scheduling in the last couple of months has been on and off, but when I'm on live, it's just a tremendous blessing to be here with you. So for that reason, I want to also praise and thank God for the gift of our friendship, the gift of this ministry, and the gift to be on here every Thursday with you. As I sometimes call it, an hour of power, great sharing of God's word, setting our hearts on fire. So, always a pleasure to be here, Kathleen.
Well, you're missed when you're not, and quite frankly, and as our friends know, as I say it here in the studio, I've been sort of hit and miss myself with a lot of family obligations and so forth. So I'm just delighted that we're on together. And let's open the Word of God, which is living, really living and effective, and see what the Lord is doing in a very special way for all of us this day.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Glory to you, O Lord. This is Luke chapter 13, 31 through 35. Some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Go away, leave this area because Herod wants to kill you." Jesus replied, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and I perform healings today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will accomplish my purpose.' You must continue on my way today, tomorrow, and the following day, for it is impossible that a prophet should die outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how many times I yearned to gather you, your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. You were unwilling. Behold, your house will be abandoned, but I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The gospel of the
Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So let's open the Word of God and see where we are led for our awesome people today on this beautiful day.
This is the end, actually, of chapter 13, and the last couple of days has kind of been building up. Luke's gospel is wonderful for the parables. So many of the famous parables that we are so familiar with really come from Luke's version of the gospel. And yesterday we saw, Tuesday, for example, he spoke about the kingdom of God being like unleavened bread and the seed, the mustard seed. Yesterday, then he went on to talk about how to live it. Today, he's now coming to a close, and he's very sobered, and he gives a very sobering message. But it's really interesting now. So he's been, try to picture this. He's been walking through, telling his parables. He's been teaching, and of course, no matter where he goes, whether he's in the crowd or the crowd finds him, he'll never turn someone down who is in need of his touch, in need of his word, his healing. Hmm. But notice how Luke writes it. He didn't say the Pharisees came. He said some. So amidst the Pharisees that were always so suspect about Jesus' life, there are Pharisees that were concerned about Jesus. Just like Herod himself, their hearts were moved, you know?
Right.
He was saying truths. He did challenge them to say, okay, if I really am a man of God, is this correct? So these guys come over and say, hey, listen, Jesus, you know, for your own safety and probably for your own life right now, it might be best if you, like, take backstage left door and keep going because Herod's out to get you.
Yeah, they were trying to warn him.
Totally. And in that warning, but the warning makes sense because we know, first of all, that John really put the wrench in the wheel against marriage and against Herodias and whatnot, and he's beheaded. And then after that, I sometimes speak about poor Herod. Herod was always compelled in some way or another. He was bothered. He was bothered by Jesus' word all the time. But now it's coming to a point where he wants to meet him, but he's going to trick him. And Jesus' response, Kathleen, is even better. He's not bothered at all. He's not emotional. He's not moved by it. He looks and he doesn't say, like, oh my God, what do I do? He can get me out of the back door. No. Jesus says, really? You go tell that fox this. And he wasn't being sarcastic. He called him a fox because he was making it very clear that this invitation to come to his place was a sneaky move. Mm. And then he kind of opens up his own world about what is to take place. He says, listen, this is what I've been called to do. I come on this earth to cast out demons, to perform healings, to teach, preach today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will accomplish my purpose. Of course, we know it's Calvary and the Paschal mystery, but he tells these Pharisees, don't rush it. I'm not moved by this guy. I'm not afraid. In the appointed time God put me on this earth, there will be an appointed time when I will have to lay my life down for God himself and then sacrifice for all the people. And these particular Pharisees, they were not stupid. They understood this. And he says, now you must continue on my way. No, sorry, yet I must continue on my way today, tomorrow. Right. For it's impossible that a prophet should die outside Jerusalem. Now he's really letting them know, you know who I am. I'm telling you at the appointed time, it's not going to happen here in Nazareth or in Jericho or in Bethlehem. It's going to happen where all prophets have been known to die, in Jerusalem. But then he turns toward Jerusalem in a gesture, like a real bodily gesture.
Yep.
I would look at this as a lament. And I would say, if I was to picture Jesus speaking here, I don't see, like, in the beginning he said, oh, yeah, you tell that fox. I'd say he was kind of stern. But when he turned to Jerusalem, I would imagine him speaking more tenderly, because it's the place that God put on this earth, and that every single prophet, he said, you killed your prophets. My father sent these people to warn you, and every single one you killed there. How many times I've yearned to gather you around? Mm-hmm. And then he says, and now I'm going to have to complete it there. And then he speaks of the temple. And then he looks and he kind of prophesies, the whole thing is just going to be desolate. It will be left empty if they don't open their hearts. So it's a sobering, in one sense, it's a very sobering, stark kind of a gospel of prophecy, of also warning, but also in the whole sense of the call for us then. Because it really does go back to us. Are we going to be like those prophets, like those people who kind of went after the prophets, or are we going to listen to Jesus? Are we going to see that the temple is empty, or are we going to see by his cross, death, and resurrection that our hearts becomes the living temple of God? And you see, there's so many things that you can start opening up and kind of wrapping this, kind of like really unraveling this more and more. It's one of those gospels toward the end of every year that leaves you and me with a question. Because it's coming to the end of the year, preparing for Christ the King, and that's why he says at the end, you won't see me until the time comes when it says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, both in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and in the second coming of Christ through the sky. We are preparing. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And the question is, you will, upon that waiting, and we do this in the liturgical calendar for the church, in this waiting time, are our hearts ready to welcome him until he comes again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a very challenging gospel for you and I and all men and women of faith and children. And I agree, he was deterred. You know, he couldn't be deterred. He set his face like flint. he just not only just turn around, but when they say of how he turned towards Jerusalem, nothing, no one, no person, no warning was going to deter him from what his father sent him to do. Even to a point, you know, as you said when you read the gospel, he referred to him as a fox, you know, the fox. He called him. That clear out, called him out. He didn't pull his words. He didn't say, and I mean, he knew where he was headed. And sometimes we see right now in these days, in these times, what that really mean. What did he mean? He calling him a fox. I mean, a fox is a small little animal. Matter of fact, just the other night, I had my friend Doris in the car, and I was telling her we had two big, fat foxes on the property. And they're cute to look at. They seem unthreatening. They look docile, really. They just sort of run around and roam, and almost in a way that a puppy or a deer coming out looks, but not so. The fox, and if you know, like, we had farmers around, and we have a farm right next to us. They have sheep and all, and they refer to a fox in a very special way, because he was regarded as, let's say, the slyest of all animals. Even though he seemed benign, even though they seem kind of cute, but that's how Satan works. You know, he's you don't see him, you don't, but he's sly, and he's constantly looking to ways to trap us, constantly looking for ways to get in there and confuse or to set doubt. And it's for all, you know, like I said, with the farmers, they'll tell you how difficult, it's difficult for us to get rid of these foxes. They're not, you know, you can't get rid of them very easy. And what do? They come out at night. And they it's when they do the work in the dark, just like evil, right? That's why he was referring to them as the slyest, really sly of all the animals. My good friend Father Doug always refers to him as slick. And I have to concur, because he comes like, you know, when you least expect him, you're not looking for him. And in the darkest hours, when people mostly are getting ready to wind down the day, they're tired, they're exhausted. Maybe they've had some difficult circumstances in that day with family or friends or work or whatever, health issues. That's when he comes, in the dark of night. The sly, evil one comes to try to destroy and steal, rob. And we must never, ever forget that. Somebody said to me once, I'm a night owl, as you well know. And as you well know, you've been with me on many retreats. I will pray I have prayed with people all through the night to the next morning. Somebody said, well, why are you awake all hours of the night? And I tell them it's the most powerful time to pray, because the evil one is out in the dark, just like he was in scripture reading. He comes under the cover of night. And so I think in these days, in these times, this is a good gospel for each one of us to read. Do we run? Do we hide when we're put to the challenge? When someone questions the authenticity of the gospel, or question our faith, do we rise to the challenge? Do we stand our ground like Jesus did? He wasn't even bothered. He just turned around. He was like, hey, I was sent for a purpose. My Father sent me to come and to save the lost. My Father sent me to redeem all those that will receive me. My Father sent me on a mission, and there'll be nothing that will deter me. There'll be nothing, the slyest of the sly, the evil of evils, there will be nothing. I will stand my ground. And he turns to Jerusalem, and like flint, his face is set. And I think that speaks loud to us, particularly in these times, in these days. You know, we're living in really, really difficult times, and they're going to get quite even more, very more difficult. There'll be all kinds of chaos, all kinds of things happening. And will we run in fear from that? Or will we have in our minds, God has called me on a mission. I've been baptized into Christ. And will I stand my ground? Will I rise to the challenge? Just on a very little thing, Father. Today, my son Michael ran me over to, had to go to the bank for something. And when I went in, I was taken back. And I know it's Halloween-y, you know, I know it's Halloween today. And I looked, and I won't name the bank, but every single person in the bank, everyone, I looked around, all the staff, all those that were there to serve, all had devil hats on, horns, evil. And I looked, and I was taken back, and I got up to my tower. And I said, wow. I said, I'm a little taken back. I said, you know, anybody that has all these people that are here, they have their money in your bank. And I certainly wouldn't want to think it was in evil hands. Why do you have evil hats on? Why are you wearing horns and all that? What's wrong with the halo? What's wrong with a funny costume or one of service? And the man he didn't even answer me, put his hand on his head, and he goes, yeah. I said, I'm just saying, this is your witness to, you know, I don't have any money, but if I did, I certainly wouldn't make me a little skeptical that I'm putting my money in the bank that appears to be serving Satan in the dark side. And he goes, well, you know what, it don't really mean anything. You know, it's just a symbol. It's, you know, it's fun. You know, Halloween's fun. And I thought, well, the fox is at it again. That's, you know, abortion isn't murder. I mean, whatever the case is, they will always make an excuse. And do we let that fly by and not even acknowledge it? Or do we stand our ground and rise up to the challenge in love and in a nice way? And all the things that we will have to stand firm in, even to the point, you know, there was going to be martyrdom, believe me. But what I'm saying is, this gospel is telling us Jesus set his face to Jerusalem, and out of love and obedience to his mission, go and save the lost, to redeem those from sin, to save their souls. There's ways that we can be instruments in God's hands for that. Or will we hide? Will we not acknowledge who we are, that we're children of the Most High God? Will we be silenced out of fear? Or we set our heart, our mind, and our spirit to be all what God calls us to be, not to fear those who come against God, not to fear those who oppose God, but to be filled with the holy boldness to stand firm in the truth, even though it may cost our own lives one day. Hope it never comes to that, but you never know. And Jesus sets an example from the very beginning for you, Father, for me, and all those listening today. And we can do things in little ways, and if necessary, even the biggest ways that God would call us to stand firm in the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Go ahead.
In the gospel, when Judas leaves the Last Supper, it's clearly written, and
in
it
night.
Was night.
Mm-hmm.
It was night. And as you were speaking, especially, I'm just kind of bringing us back to the bank. They didn't know, and he says, you know, you were mentioning it's like a symbol, but, you know, and the man said, it's no big deal and whatnot. It reminded me of the Eucharistic discourse, John 6, because, and again, it's Jesus' same disposition.
Yep.
He says to everyone, I am the bread of life. He who believes in me shall never die. And then they look at him, and he basically is saying to everybody, look, I think you're looking at me. We're talking about this manna from heaven. But they ate and died. But he says, believe in me and you won't die. So they think he's kind of crazy. And then he turns around and he says, again, I'm the bread of life. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, he becomes very expressed about this, will never die and will never thirst. And now they really go after him. And then there's that moment right after they start, like, you know, when he says they murmured.
Yeah.
Well, they went beyond murmured because it was like gaslighting at that point. And all he says is this, and it kind of reminds me of this one here. You
yeah.
go tell that fox. The disposition is, does this offend you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you think that I'm going to change the truth. I ain't going to change the truth. So if it offends you, that's your own choice.
Yeah.
And he stands his ground. And he watched so many people that day reject, just like we're talking about today. Do we reject
yep.
or do we receive him? And upon that rejection, he didn't shout out, wait a second, wrong answer. Let's talk. Let's have compromise. He stood his ground.
Exactly.
And by standing his ground, there was 12 apostles sitting there. Duh. He looks at them and he says, what about you? You can also live. And that's when Peter, of course, has that phenomenal inspiration by the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, how could we leave? To whom shall we go? You are it. You are it. And then that whole revelation comes out. But the revelation, it will always be there, but we need to stay.
Exactly.
Stand our ground with him in order for that revelation to be deeper, to take deeper root in us, and that other people may be touched by it. You know, that's the point. You were speaking to a man at a teller. Now, and you weren't afraid to tell him, oh, this is kind of suspect. I don't know if I want to do this. You never know. I'm sure sometimes they probably meet people and they roll their eyes or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, you and I leave. You left that bank today.
Mm-hmm.
It is only in God's timing,
yep.
in God's wisdom, and in God's movement that you were only there to be the instrument and his voice.
Yeah.
But you stood your ground.
Yeah.
For all you know, just like Herod or these Pharisees, when you walked out, there was probably an awful lot of food for thought going on.
Father, when I first said it to him, his hand reached up to touch it. Like he pondered it for a moment. Like, well, when I said, I certainly don't want to render all my goods and funds under a symbol of the devil. And he put his hand up. If he never thought about it again, and then he goes, oh, well, it's just fun. It's, well, people say that all the time, you know. I didn't mean to hurt anybody, or I didn't do this. And we sin. We just keep sinning. We have to take stock and say, wait a minute. Who are we really representing here? Who are we standing firm for? And it's the truth. And if we really love our fellow man and women, if we love them, we're going to share the truth in gentleness. I didn't come in and say something mean and ugly and nasty. I came in and just shared my heart, like, wow. And I didn't say, oh, you shouldn't celebrate Halloween. I just said, what's wrong with the halo? I'd rather put my money in God's hands, I told him. Or what's wrong with just putting something funny on, or something cute, or a hero.
Or a garbage man's outfit.
Or a garbage man's outfit. Perfect timing. Absolutely right. Perfect timing. Yep. So these are the times we're living in. We got to, believe it or not, we got to take a short break. Don't go away, my brothers and sisters. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Go take something into the other room. Father, I want to continue on with our gospel today.
I certainly will. All right. Oh, yeah, I love you.
Gotta love me, that's what I tell
you. One of the things that is very important about it is going back to this challenge and the darkness of the world. Today is Halloween, okay? So you talk about the bank.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to give a little bit of history because I'm thinking myself as an Irishman and I'm thinking of Ireland right now. Ireland is really the creator of Halloween. Halloween was known 3,000, maybe even 4,000 years ago as the Samhain.
That's right.
Samhain, yeah, the Samhain wasn't a pagan kind of a setup. It was, it wasn't godless. It was a pagan setup. And Ireland was not part of the Roman Empire. It was a rough island. And when Patrick was sent there in the 4th century, he was going back to a place where he was a slave. I mean, he was going back to people that didn't believe in God. They had their own gods, their own magic powers, their own spirits, and they were rough people. Mm. They were hardy, they were strapping big guys, and they simply were not maybe pamby about anything. So when it came to this spirit world, they were very, very deeply involved. And the Samhain took place because in the Northern Hemisphere, this time of the year, Ireland goes very dark. It goes like Iceland and Norway and UK. It starts getting dark very quickly for about 4 or 5 months. It's quite a dark time of their season. And they believed at that point in the dead, and they believed that spirits still lived in the dead. And this was a celebration of those spirits and the protection of some bad spirits. It was done actually out of a protection. I don't know if you ever heard of Lunasa. So there was a very famous play called Dancing at Lunasa.
No.
And it was taking place, the Irish, of course, it was a pagan ceremony that always took place, believe it or not, between the 19th and the 21st of August every year. Why? Because there was something in the astrological world where there was always some sort of an eclipse. So they used to have these huge bonfires and they would be calling upon the spirits about the eclipse of the moon and the eclipse of the sun, etc. And funny enough, that's when Our Lady came on August 21st, when she came to knock, see, to correct it. It's fascinating when you think about it. Anyway, going back to this, when Patrick came and began to Christianize Ireland, he incorporated the Samhain into what he developed and had the church and a good part of Europe in that contribution of All Hallows, All Souls. So he understood that it wasn't a welcoming of the evil, but rather the protection of and the blessing of those who died before us, right?
Yeah.
So over the course of thousands of years, this is what we've always had. And in fact, the jack-o'-lanterns were an Irish creation too. And what that was, they used to put them on the windowsills because Irish people in the 16th and 17th century, especially in the heart of the British invasions, they believed that in the fairies. They called them the fairies. They believed in the banshees.
Yeah.
And they believed in the leprechauns. So this was a time coming into the holy month of November that their loved ones to whom they really prayed for the dead, would be protected from the evil ones or be protected by the fairies. So all of this was done in a twofold manner. One was protection from evil, and secondly, to pray for those who are on their way going home to God.
Hmm.
What has happened, and again, I want to connect this back to standing our ground, connect it back to your encounter today in the bank. What happened to Ireland in recent times is they've taken what was always part of their integral identity, and they've returned to the pagan, but they went beyond. Even in the pagan, they never invited the evil. This now, the Ireland that everyone knew as Holy Mother Ireland, especially in the 1950s, at its golden, it is gone. And they've actually turned to the dark side.
That's right.
I have no other way to say it. And now they welcome the evil. Mm-hmm. They welcome the witchcraft. They welcome the fairies. They welcome the banshees, not as protection, but to come and be part of the quote unquote, the crack, the fun, the good
right.
times. So they're not standing their ground to say what we believe in, what our faith has taught us, or even in the common sense of saying, you want to be protected from evil. They're actually bringing in, it was dark. They're actually doing this work, quote unquote, at night.
Yep.
So a whole nation right now is in trouble because they've rejected the church. They blame it on the sex scandals, but we all know that they become excuses.
Exactly.
What is deeper within them is that they're missing something about can they accept the truth? Can they accept Christ? And as a result of rejecting, they've turned around now to completely welcome the evil and push out God. So that's why the Halloween now, I think even in our own country, we're seeing it become more commercialized. We're seeing all the lights. And they're actually, instead of throwing away the evil, they're actually celebrating it.
You
see them in their gardens mm-hmm. and all of this, that this is kind of cool. It's not. It's not cool at all.
Right.
Because it's totally devoid of God. And so you link that into tomorrow, All Hallows, that we return to. Because every single one of those saints, every one of them, stood their ground.
That's right.
They were not afraid to do the right thing. They were not afraid to put their reputations on the line, to be arrested, to be beaten if necessary, or even if necessary to the shedding of their blood for Christ and Christ alone and for the truth of Christ, to ward off evil and to welcome in goodness, to welcome in light, not darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why today is an important day, not to celebrate the evil, but it became a vigil, especially toward the evening, to pray to God, to call upon the saints for protection.
Right.
And to beg God to help us on the road to our holiness, that we can become saints too, to stand our ground. I mean, this gospel today really is apropos in many ways, especially as we've opened this up. You could look at it in so many angles, and it actually links so beautifully from Halloween into All Saints.
And I think that was one of the, wasn't it Pope Boniface that really changed so much of that and moved it to November 1st? Wasn't he the one that connected it back again to All Hallows?
Correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And we Mother have to
Angel
do that.
This is smart. We have to do it, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and that's what we're called to do. Not with all the, we don't need all the fanfare. You just address it on the spot when it comes and stand your ground. How they were referring it to, when Jesus, and he turned to Jerusalem, the way they talked to Jerusalem was about, you know, it was horrific and horrible, and don't go there. They're going to kill you. They're going to betray you. They're going to reject you. And but he talked different about it, didn't he? He talked about Jerusalem like a mother, and how she would hide them on those that are wounded or broken under her pinions. He always knows for every evil. Well, not only knows it, he was sent to be a contrast. And you and I and all of our listeners, this is a perfect day to be able to share, even with our grandchildren who are going out, or, you know, little things that would come up that they could say, hey, you know, one of the things, let me tell you this, something I experienced, or we can always bring good and light into darkness. And the good, you know, I've said so many times, even gave teachings on it about the light. The light can dispel the darkness, even one match. One match, that's what I was to that man, a little match. One match can dispel the darkness, but all the darkness in the world can never dispel the light. The light has no shadow, ever. If you light a match and turn all the lights out in the room, you might see the match shadow, but there will be no light, because lightness has no shadow, has no darkness. It's pure light. And that's what we're called to be, isn't it? Light to the world. We're called to be on that mission. We're called as a missionary church. And if any in our country today, all those missionaries we've sent out all over the world, we need them right here in our own country today. And you know what? That's our listeners today. That's our priesthood. That's our all those who know the truth. We are called to set our face like flint and to go out after those that we love who are on the road to being lost. Go ahead, Father.
And that's where the saints come in. It's an arduous journey, mm-hmm. but it's a journey that has to be done with joy. I was mentioning before, you know how you say dress, you were telling them, well, at least dress as something funny.
Yeah.
Mother Angelica, years ago, I don't even think she realized, but she started a trend throughout many, many Catholic schools across the country. She started bringing in the children on her television show dressed as saints on Halloween.
Yep.
And she'd say, and who do you represent? And she was really terrible with kids. It was really funny because she was awkward with them. But she had a good laugh when some of them would come in and you see them dressed as Joan of Arc and Teresa of Avila and the John of the Cross and stuff. But it set a trend, because I know a lot of Catholic schools now actually have this moment where they bring the Halloween dressing as saints. And that's important to say, who are we representing? Are we representing a symbol of darkness, or are we representing someone who is a symbol of light, Christ's light? And that's where the saints come in. And you say, and that's our job. That is most definitely our job. And we don't have to do an extraordinary work,
right,
God's eyes, to be a saint at all. We have to do it with the deepest love, the deepest sincerity, and the deepest joy. And you mentioned today, you know, in the United States and the world over, and the family, that's where true holiness is born.
Mm.
And when it's lacking, that's the most saintly, heroic witness that can be shown, from a husband to a wife, a father to the children, a mother to the children, etc. and so on. Not to be afraid to do the right thing.
Mm.
World that's dictating the other. That's the beginning of a sainthood.
Exactly.
Not alone. Yeah.
And
of course, there's some contemporary saints that we can look at. So you have the parents of the little flower. You have Gianna Molo, who was only, you know, 40-something years ago. Mm-hmm. You have a couple of the lay people that both John Paul II, Benedict, and Francis have been canonizing. You even have Carlo Acutis,
right,
if you will, on his way to canonization, where there was a witness. You know, this kid, Carlos, for example, he wasn't having anything else. if you're going to turn on the internet had to be about Jesus. It had
exactly.
to be something gospel-related. That's where you stand your ground and you make witness.
What
say you?
I say 100% spot on, because that's what I'm saying. People think, well, that was Jesus. That it was Jesus Christ. Sure, he's going to confront evil. But we are flesh of his flesh. We're bone of his bone. And we, too, are called to confront evil and to stand up to it. And there's so many little ways. You know, I love the little flower, I'm a Carmelite, Third Order, so being a lay Carmelite. And so many of them are have become doctors of the church. You know, St. Teresa of Avila, Flower, John of the Cross. I mean, they did a lot of their things, especially St. Teresa of Lisieux. Her whole life was about little things. It was about things that could be hidden. It was her sanctity. That was her channel. That was her road. And like she said, do with me as you will. If you want to use me, here I am. If you don't want to use me right now, you can, like a little ball, just throw me over in a corner. It's like love, isn't it, Father? It's like love. It's not these grandiose somebody coming over and giving you, some big grandiose thing. It's about showing love in ways that you know that'll benefit that person in many different ways. Love is all day long. It doesn't go out of style. It doesn't age. And love, when you really love somebody, it's about benefiting them, not ourselves. Love never takes. Love isn't a taker. It's a giver. And we should remember that we have something to give in this world that's greater than any gem, any pearl of great price. It's Jesus Christ and the gospel. So I think for you and for me and all of our listeners, we have our own little way. But we are called to be saints. And we are saints. I'm going to go beyond we're called. We are saints when we live out our vocations as fathers and mothers and consecrated lives, single life, priests, vocations, religious life. If we're doing the best we can do and we're trying to live Christ, we can all talk about Christ, let's face it, sounds good. My bottom line is, and I used to tell people this all the time, you know, they'd come up to you, you know this, at a retreat, and they'll give you all these accolades and, they'll call you saint and so forth. And that's a beautiful thing. But I always say, hey, it's easy to look at me standing up here and giving a talk or a priest saying mass or, anybody speaking, a musician playing his violin or whatever the gift is. But if you want to know if I'm living what I preach, ask my children, ask my husband, ask my wife. Would they agree? Would they agree that I live that kind of a life that I talk about? It's easy to talk about it. It's a journey that's difficult to walk day in and day out. But the more we do it, the more comfortable we become at it, right?
Yep. And because the more comfortable you become at it, you may not see the holiness coming from you. And that's why you brought up past the others.
Yeah.
It automatically is seen by others through you. It's just the way God works. People will say, I can see something in you. And they'll come to me sometimes and they'll say, now, Father, maybe you said something or the way you pray or your demeanor and all that. And I'd say, what?
Yeah.
In my head, maybe I was like 10,000 miles away when I was saying something, or maybe I had a really bad day or whatever. And I'm looking at them going, what? Sometimes saying is it a false, affection. But it's not.
That's right.
Something
it's not.
That only God can do, because it's grace.
Yeah.
And grace St. Augustine of Hippo has beautifully defined grace as light, mm-hmm. revelation. Right. So grace comes from, you know, the holiness that we live is a grace from God.
Absolutely.
Little by little, we are beginning to become light. You are the light of the world, he said. And that's through grace.
Yeah.
And we may not see I personally don't see the light within myself. I can look at the mirror all day long. Ain't nothing coming out on me. But other people will see it in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you begin to question, why, God? And it's, well, you're trying.
Exactly.
Each and every day you're trying to do your little bit, you know. We don't have to be, even as missionaries, Kathleen, we don't have to be traveling all over the world.
That's right. Right here.
And I know some of our older fathers, as I call them, the giants of the mission, never left a particular area or region in the boondocks of Nigeria or Ghana or Kenya. And they've spent 40-plus years with the same people in the same mundane little world, places even where there might be no electricity or whatever. They're missionary in that sense, but they weren't all over the world. They stayed in one spot.
That's right.
But they grew in immense grace and holiness.
I am what I am by the grace of God. Yep. I am what I am by the grace of God. That's what we all have to remember. And the point of it is, we can, you know, we have to live it to be authentic, is what I'm saying. Like, it might look good, sound good, but ask somebody that knows you well, somebody you live with, somebody that sees you morning till night, and if they can say, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with you, then praise God. Praise God that you're living that life by the grace of God.
How true.
Yeah.
God's grace and his light is always in us, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted to bring something up because I'm conscious that I won't be on until we meet in person. But I want to say that I'm excited for this upcoming Ad Lumina Christi.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Because it's always a tremendous, tremendous grace. It's one of those places where you don't really understand. It might be a couple of weeks later or a couple of months later where you see how God is really working in you.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to once again join you in this beautiful endeavor at the end of this coming month, on the 18th of this coming month of November. I won't be on for the next to Thursday, so that's why I'm just saying,
yeah.
Until I see you and everybody else in person, I'm kind of looking forward to this. And I hope we have a lot of people that have registered.
Oh, are you asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, there's always a group that, at the very end, they register, and that's why I tell them, please register now, because I can't get you in. I don't carry that kind of weight to say, got to have room somewhere. There's a room somewhere there. When the building's full, it's full. And the beauty is we have people that come from all out of state, all over. So wherever you're at, we'd love to see you. We'd like to let you know that, and I'll agree, I always say it right out here in the open. I agree. It's one of my favorite retreats. And not only because I'm ministering with you and one of my best friends, Holy Priest, but I love the people that come. I love to watch how God has moved in them, healed them, renewed them, refreshed them, gave them strength and courage for the rest of the journey. It's upbuilding and uplifting for me to watch that happen with my own eyes, to make new friends and lasting friends. There's some just a, I don't even want to say magnificent, but a, an amazing grace with that retreat. And the theme, what is that theme? What I said, what do you want me to do? What is it?
What do you want me to do for you?
Yeah.
That's what Jesus said in last week's gospel.
Right.
And then we subtitled it, Expect Miracles.
Yeah, expect a miracle. Just like the blind man, what do you want me to do for you that I might see? Let's expect miracles. Faith comes in many different forms. But if you don't use it, it's just lying dormant within you. You have to use it like anything else. So come on now.
The beautiful,
go ahead.
No, the beautiful part about the that is every single year we have three people that give witness to those miracles in their life.
That's right.
And it's so edifying. I love this.
That's one of my favorite parts, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Although I like hearing some of your stories.
You're funny. You are so funny. I love you back. That's all I am. I'm a storyteller, and that's who I am. By the grace of God, He's written many chapters in my book of life so far.
Yes, indeed. And in all of our lives.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
That is.
I'm going to need your blessing.
You need a blessing, right?
Here we are. It's 5 o'clock.
Can you imagine?
Unbelievable. We do have fun.
May the blessings of the Almighty and Merciful God come down upon each and every one of you, especially our listeners and your families, for all of your intentions, especially the gift of joy and peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father, it's always a delight, always a blessing to minister over the airways with you when you're on, and always an honor and a pleasure to work with the retreats together. So I just want to praise and thank God for the gift of your priesthood, and as I ask that as you stand right now, I pray that the Father would bless you from your head to your toes. Also for all your brother priests, that in these times when that sly fox is out, that the light of the world will dwell in you and every one of your brothers and priests and all the religious and all of the laity, that we might be the evangelizers God calls us to be. Amen. God bless you,
Amen.
Father.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you now.
Bye now. And don't,
bye-bye.
Don't turn off the radio, because a very special young man is going to be on, Dr. Anton Raimondo. And he always has a story. He always has a beautiful program. And he talks about the saints so often that it's very... just fills you with wisdom of the saints that we wouldn't know if it wasn't people like that. He's a beautiful instrument in God's hand. So again, don't go away. I love you, and I mean it. And God willing, I will be back with you Tuesday. Until we meet again, may God continue to hold each of you and your families in the palm of His hands. God bless you and pray for me.